Good morning. Today's daf in Megillah Yud Ches. We're on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, and we are about a third of the way down from the top of the Amud. We're starting with the words Tefillah Minalan. How do I know about Tefillah? I don't know what about Tefillah. So yesterday we started the second parak of the Masechta, in the second parak. So we are talking about how to read the Megillah. And first rule of the Mishnah is that you cannot read a Lamafra. You cannot read it out of order. So the Gemara quoted a drasha in terms of how we know this halacha that you're not allowed to read the Megillah out of order. But that's the halacha. In fact, later we're gonna learn a brisa in today's daf. The brisa says, let's say you got to shul just a little bit late for the Megillah. I'll say it in the most extreme scenario. Let's say you missed the first pasuk, you heard the rest of the Megillah, and then what you do is just read the first pasuk at the end. So that's no good. That's lamafreya. That's reading it out of order, and you were not yotze, even though you heard most of the Megillah, the vast majority of the Megillah, but you're not yotze. Okay, so you have to read hear the Megillah in order. So that was the first Mishnah of the second parak of the Masechta, which we started yesterday. And so with that, the Gemara pointed out that the Megillah is not the only thing that has to be read kiseder in order, but there are other things also that have to be read in order. So the Bryce on yesterday's daf, on Yuzayin Amud Aleph, says it's V'chein B'Halal, when you're reading Halal, it has to be Beseder, and Kriya Shema has to be Beseder, and Tefillah has to be Beseder. So when you're doing, you're davening Yishman Esrei, so there are 18, now 19 brachas, to take into consideration, and they have to be done beseder. They have to be done in order. So we are now. Yesterday we talked about Megillah. We gave the drushas for Halo. We gave a drusha for Kriya Shema as well. And now we're up to Tefillah. We're up to Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, this Gemara over here is going to be extraordinarily fundamental. All Gemaras are fundamental, but this Gemara is going to be fundamental as it now is going to be giving us the string, the order, the sequencing of Shemoneh Esrei. As we're going to learn momentarily, Shemoneh Esrei is a formalized tefillah. In other words, there's a mitzvah to daven. According to the Rambam, it's a mitzvah in the Torah. According to the Ramban, only b'shas sakana. But regardless, it's a mitzvah to daven. But obviously, there's no formula. It wasn't formalized in terms of how to daven. And then, as we go back and build the second base of Mikdash, so members of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, or I should say the entire Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, so they formalized davening. You look at the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah in the beginning. So he says, look, in other words, people needed structure in terms of how to daven. And so in order to create a structured and organized tefillah, so they put together Shemoneh Esrei. So remember, at the time, they also had Nevi'im. The Gemara is about to point that out. They had Nevi'im as well. So this was a codified version of tefillah of davening. And so what we're going to learn together is that based on a series of psukim in Tanakh, so we're going to see that the order is based on a certain sequencing that we're going to see based on the psukim. Okay, and this Gemara is going to go well into today's daf in terms of the correct sequencing. The whole point of all this is that Seder of the Shemoneh Esrei, in order to properly say the Shemoneh Esrei, you have to be saying the brachas in the order that Anshei Knesset HaGedolah put together. And if you don't say them in order, so then ostensibly you weren't yotze with your Shemoneh Esrei. So Tefillah Minalan did Tanya Bilim Tana Brisa Shimon Apikuli. He's dear Shemoneh Esrei brachos lifnei Rabbi Gamliel Aseder B'Yavne. So Shimon Apikuli put together the Shemoneh Esrei brachos in front of Rabbi Gamliel Aseder B'Yavne. So now Rabbi Gamliel obviously is not what I'm describing historically, right? I'm trying to present that it's Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Rabbi Gamliel is at the end of Bayis Sheni. That's 400 years later. Okay, so stay tuned as the Gemara itself is going to note. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Amar Milah Ben Mesisa Tana Meves from Zekenim Uvehem Kama Neviim Tiknu Shemoneh Esrei Brachos Al Haseder. And the Gemara now quotes B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, or it's a Braisa that there were 120 Zekenim amongst them Neviim that instituted the 18 brachas al Seder. I know we all know this, but just to make this as clear as possible. So Shemoneh Esrei was originally 18 brachas. What happens is that a 19th bracha is added. Okay, it's added by Shmuel HaKatan. The Gemara elsewhere will discuss that addition. But meanwhile, though, we're just talking about the original formation of Shemoneh Esrei, Tanur Rabbanan, Minayin She'omrim Avos. So now, we're going to be citing numerous psukim throughout Tanakh that gets us to the Shemoneh Esrei. So how do I know that we are starting with Avos Shedem or Havelo Shem B'nei Elim? Elim are the great ones. It's a reference to the Avos. Uminayim Shamru Gvur Shedem or Havelo Shem Kavod V'Oz. Just continuing in that same parakin to Elim. So that Oz obviously is a reference to Gvura. Uminayim Shamru Kedusha, the third bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, is Kedusha Hashem Shedem or Havelo Shem kavod shavo. Sorry, yishach v'lam v'adras kodesh. Okay, so far we have the first three brachas covered based on a sequence of psukim in Tehillim. This should sound familiar. We saw this back in Rosh Hashanah, meaning the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah also went through the sourcing, but remember, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah is talking about the Shemoneh Esrei of the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, so that's nine brachas. So over here, we're doing the standard 18 brachas Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, Umara Ulamar Bina Acher Kedusha. Now, why did what gave them the impression that the next bracha should be Bina, Atachon Antanu, Atachonain. Okay, so the Shenamra Vikdisho is Kedosh, Yaakov is Elke Yisrael, Yaritsu. So we have a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Okay, also happens to be 29th parak, meaning the pasuk we just quoted in Tehillim was the 29th parak, but okay, probably coincidence. But anyway, so the 29th parak in Yeshayahu, so one pasuk is talking about Kedusha, Usamichlein, the very next pasuk, V'yadu, Toei Ruach, Bina. Okay, and the next pasuk is about Bina. So, okay, so that gets us sequencing from Kedusha to Bina. Umar Ulamar Tshuva Achar Bina. Now the next bracha is about tshuva. Dichsiv ulavavo yavin v'shav v'rafei. Lo. So you do tshuva and you also have a refuah. So ihachi lem refuah basrad de tshuva. So the Gemara says, okay, so now, fine. So now I know that we're going to go from Bina to tshuva, but then it sounds like the next bracha should be refainu. And that's not the next bracha. So lo sakadach. So the Gemara says, dichsiv v'yashuv al-Hashem v'yarchameu v'elokenu kiyar be'lusloach. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we have another pasuk here in the 55th parak of Yeshayahu, where it clearly states that first there's tshuva, then there's slicha, which is what we do. We do the bracha on tshuva, and then we do the bracha on slicha. So the Gemara says, "Oh, my chazis, the samach tahai, smachaha." Okay, so the Gemara says, "Fine, but I have conflicting psukim. One pasuk would seem to indicate that refu should come after tshuva, and we have another pasuk that says that slicha should be coming after tshuva. So, okay, so we have conflicting psukim. How do I know which one we should be following?" So the Gemara says, "Ksav karachrina." So the Kosova Shlishi Machria. Okay, we have a deciding vote, and that's based on a pasuk in Tehillim. Asolech lechol avanaychi, harofe lechol tachlu aychi, hagoel mishachas chayichi. Okay, so the lememra de geula v'refuah baso slichahi. So that comes to tell me that both geula and refuah are coming after slicha. Okay, so that means to say then that we have a third pasuk taken into consideration that the refuah is coming only after slicha and not before the slicha. So that means that the slicha is going to be coming after the tshuva. V'haksi v'shav v'rapei lo. So the Gemara says, okay, but go back to the previous pasuk, where the pasuk does sequence tshuva immediately followed by refuah. So the Gemara says, I will love refuah. D'tachlimi ala refuah d'slichahi. No, you misunderstood the pasuk. The pasuk is not talking about refuah in the medical sense, in the physical sense, but that's refuah coming after tshuva. Meaning after tshuva, now you're going to be having not a physical refuah, but a metaphysical refuah, a spiritual refuah. So umar ra'ulamar geula b'shviyah. So the Gemara says, okay, so what do we have right now? So we so far have the first three brachas, right? That we call that elsewhere, that's the shevach. Okay, the avos, the gevuros, and the kedusha. We've now covered, we covered bina, tshuva, and now slicha. So the Gemara says, now after Slicha, what comes up is Geula. Okay, so Geula now is going to be representing the seventh bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. So why is that number seven? So Amrav and Mitoch Shatin Ligal B'Shvius, because we're going to be redeemed in the seventh. Seventh what? Leficha Kavu B'Shvius. Therefore, the bracha of Geula is going to be put in the seventh slot. So in other words, basically what we're learning right now is that the sequencing of Shemoneh Esrei is a combination of considerations, aside from the fact that it's nevuah as well, but it's a combination of considerations, meaning in terms of the psukim, of what should follow what, and also it's taken into consideration in terms of what number bracha it is within Shemoneh Esrei. So there is significance in geula being number seven, because geula and seven are a perfect match. V'hamamar, b'shishis kolos, b'shvias mechamos memotei shvias ben David ba. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'm a little bit bothered because we learned in Sanhedrin, the Gemara is quoting it now, is that in the sixth there's going to be kolos, which probably is a reference to war, or at least the preparation of war. B'shviz mechamos, in the seventh there's going to be war. And then Mamotzei Shviz, Ben David Ba, and Ben David is coming in the Motzei Shviz. So mechamanami, aschalta de geulahi. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the mechama is the aschalta de geula, and as a result of that, so you can count that towards geula. Okay. Now, what do we do? So then we put in refuah in the eighth slot. So the Gemara says, what is the connection between refuah and number 8? So Amar Rabbi Acha, mitoch shenitna mila b'shminis, shetzrich refuah, l'ficha kavua b'shminis. So the Gemara says, yeah, because mila's on day 8, mila by definition requires refuah. Okay, so that is the connection between refuah and number 8. Amaru ulamar birchas hashanim b'tshi'is. Okay, the next bracha is bracha on shanim. That's our bracha for parnasa. So Amar Rav Alexandra, keneged mafkia sha'arim. So we're saying it because of the mafkia sha'arim. People who manipulate the markets, right, cause the markets to go up, go down, to create inflation. Okay, we have our manipulators, and obviously, so they are they're not honest people, and they are manipulating the market for their own benefit. Dechsiv shvor zra rasha. So and the pasuk in Tehillim. Now this is the 10th parak of Tehillim. Now you didn't want to hear that. Meaning, what you wanted to hear, what we all wanted to hear, is that it's a 9th parak of Tehillim, because what we're trying to do is to make a connection between the bracha on Gashmias on our finances and its connection to number 9. So we're quoting a pasuk in Tehillim from the. Now we're reading it as the 10th parak of Tehillim. So v'David ki amra b'chias amra. So and when David said it, so David said in the 9th parak. Okay. So the fact that right now the Gemara is comfortably calling it the 9th parak, and we have it number 10. So see Rashi over here. Rashi reminds us how it came to be. Right. Rashi's got a couple of Gersi issues. Anyway, I'll say it nice and simple. It's the we have it down as the 10th parak. The Gemara's Misori had it as the 9th parak. Okay, good. Let's just leave it at that. Okay, so now after the bracha of Gashmias of Birchas Hashanim, which is now the 9th bracha, so now we're up to the 10th bracha, and the 10th bracha of Shemoneh Esrei is going to be Kibbutz Galios, the ingathering. So Dechsiv Atem Harei Yisrael Anafchem Titnu Uprechem Tisu Lame Yisrael Ki Karvu Lavo. Eventually, what's going to happen is that we're all going to come back. So the Kemshin is Kapku Galios, I said Din Birushaim. Now once we all come back to the Rishaim, we're gonna have a din. Shinemra Vashiva Yadi Alaik Vesroch Kavorsi Gayach, Uksi Vashiv Shoftach Vashana. So the Kemshin has a dimber mina Rishaim. So now there's gonna be a din against the Rishaim. So Kalo Aposhim Vikolo Zaidimi Mahem Shinemar Vishever Poshim Vikhatim Yachtav. And then what's gonna happen is that the Rishaim are gonna be obliterated. The Kemish Kavu Ishikalo Aposhim Miss Moremes Karen Sadikim. So now when the sinners are going to be vanquished, so then the tzaddikim are going to go up. V'chol karnei Rishayim agadeya, right? Literally, the horns of the Rishayim are going to be cut down. And tiram amen, akorda tzaddik. V'kolo geirat tzaddik imat tzaddikim. And also, those who are geirat tzaddik, converts, who are sincere, they're going to be together with the tzaddikim. Shenemar, min mei seva takum v'adar t'pnei zagein, usmich le'vichi agor itchem ger. Vehecham is romemes karnam. Now, where are their literally horns? But in other words, the glory of the tzaddikim, where are they going to be raised? Be Yerushalayim. Shenemar shalu shalom Yerushalayim yishal yu avayach. Vekevin shenivnes Yerushalayim uva David. And since Yerushalayim now is going to be rebuilt, so then David is going to come. Shenemar acha yeshuv v'mnei Yisrael v'ikshu as Hashem elokeihem. V'ez David malkam v'kevin sheba David. Now, once David comes, so about the tefillah, so as a result of that tefillah is going to come. Shenemar v'yaviyosim al har kashivas emachtem v'veis tefillah si. And that obviously is a reference to the bracha of Shomei Tefillah. V'kevin sheba tefillah bas avoda. Now we're up to the bracha of Ritzei. We're rounding it out. Shenemar oloseihem v'zivchehem l'ratzon ha'mizbechi v'kevin sheba avoda bas atoda. And now what happens is that once we have the avoda, so now we have a carbon toda. Shenemar zovech toda yichab deneni. Now, what happens is that we do ritzei, that's the avoda. We also have hoda'a, that's the bracha of modim. And then what we do is that we do birchas kohanim. Okay. So, and how do I know that that's next? Dechsi, vayisa aron es yadav, elam, vayivarchim, vayirei ma'asos ha'chatas, va'olav v'hashlamim. So the pasuk in Vayikra says that Aaron is raised his hands and he gave a bracha. In other words, he duchened, and as he was coming down after doing the avoda. So the Gemara says, okay. So what do we see that when he came down after doing the avoda, so he gave a bracha. So that means that the birchas kohanim should be when? Should be after modim? The Gemara says, I don't know. It sounds like it should be after avoda. Should be after ritzei. So Eima Kodem Avoda. So the Gemara says, yeah. So I get the impression now that the Berachos Kodem should be after the Avoda, not after Modim. So the Gemara says, no, Lo Sagadacha Dechsiv Ayere Me'asos Achatas. So Miksiv La'asos Me'asos Ksiv. So it says it's Me'asos. After. So Valemra Acher Avoda. I skipped a step. The Gemara thought that the Birchos Kohanim should be done before the Avoda because the Gemara originally thought, I provided the Maskana of the Gemara. The Gemara for a moment thought that the May Avoda actually is to be understood that you should be doing Birchos Kohanim before the Avoda. Okay, fine. Sorry. But then the Gemara said, no, it should be done after the Avoda, but then even if it's done after the Avoda, so then Birchos Kohanim should be done after Ritzei and before Modim. So the Gemara says, "Lo sakadacha dechsiv zovech toda." So the Gemara says, "No, zovech toda yichabdeneni is a clear indication that after bringing carbon, then there should be toda. There should be hoda." So the Gemara says, "My chazus is smocha hai." So once again, we have conflicting messaging. Meaning, on one hand, it sounds like the Birchas Kohanim should be done immediately after the avoda, meaning immediately after Ritzei. We have another pasuk that would indicate that Modim should be immediately after Ritzei, after the avoda. Well, how do I know which one to work with? So, Mistabra avoda vahoda chadam ilsehi. So the Gemara says, yeah, but avoda and hoda really are one in the same. So Rashi writes, Rashi second line, af hoda'a avoda shal makam hu. Thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also considered an avoda. I know how to say the words. I'm just not perfectly clear what he means by that. In other words, that's also considered part of the Avodah's Beis HaMikdash. Not perfectly clear or sure. But anyway, but that's what the Gemara says. And so the Gemara says, so therefore we're going to be favoring the juxtaposition of Ritzei and Modim. And then as far as Berachos Kohanim is concerned, so that gets tabled till after Modim. Now, after the bracha of Birchas Kohanim, so then what do? We say Sim Shalom Dichsiv V'Samu Shmi Al Bnei Yisrael V'Ani Avrachem. Okay, bracha Da'Karsh Baruchu Shalom. So, in other words, after the Kohanim give us a bracha, so then what's going to happen is the Karsh Baruchu is going to give us a bracha, and you know what the bracha of the Karsh Baruchu is. The Gemara says it's Shalom. Shenemar Hashem Yivareches Amo B'Shalom. Okay, so now that's it. Ad Kan. So we have now covered really succinctly and really all too quickly. We cover now the 18 brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. We now are given just a small window, a peek into the thought process that Chazal had in terms of how it is that we are going to be going from one bracha to the next bracha, and specifically in the order that it's given. And so the Gemara says, fine. But I'm going to go back now. I know I foreshadowed this question earlier, but I'm going to go back now, says the Gemara, and I'm going to ask, V'chim yachar d'meah v'esrim zekinim, o'meyam kamen avim tiknu tefillah al ha-seder, shimon ha-pakule, my is there? So the Gemara says, now, I'm historically confused. I'm perfectly confused. Meaning, because Anshe Knesset Gedolah is given the credit for having put together the Shemoneh Esrei. Now, Anshe Knesset Gedolah is at the beginning of Bayis Sheni. And then we're also hearing about shimon ha-pakule, Remen Gamliel. That's at the end of Bayis Sheni. That's at least 400 years separating those two periods of time. So who's responsible? And it's got to be one or the other. It can't be both. So the Gemara says, no, actually it's both. So Shechachum v'chazer v'sidrum. So we've heard this already a number of times. We actually heard it earlier in our Masechta as well. And that is that there was a loss of part of Torah Shabbat Peh, which was reconstructed. And one of the things that needed to be reconstructed is going to be the Shemoneh Esrei. Now, if I may, by the way, I'm going to suggest, and I run the risk of being right, but then, of course, I run the risk of being wrong. But but if I may suggest, in other words, what the Gemara is saying is what was forgotten was not Shemoneh Esrei, meaning I would venture a guess that Shemoneh Esrei, which was said daily, is not what was forgotten. What probably the Gemara is making reference to over here is the reasons behind why this bracha follows that bracha and that follows that bracha. Meaning it's basically, it's under the hood. Meaning the Shemoneh Esrei is, you know, that's there. It's the svaras and the psukim and how we get from here to there and from one bracha to the other, that was forgotten and that was need to be reconstructed. That's probably what the Gemara is making reference to. Again, I'm not saying that because I know, but it's my educated guess. Okay, good. Baruch Shekivanti. Mikan ve'elech hasol esaper b'shivcha shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From this point going forward, So you can't add. You can't add to Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Rav Elazar, my dechli mi amalag v'ros Hashem yishmei kol tilaso. So the pasuk in Tehillim, we're familiar. So, but the Gemara now darshins. Lami na'el amalag v'ros Hashem. So who's in a position where you're really able to say the Gvuros Hashem? Who could really praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu? Let me see. Yachol Hashmiel Kol Tehilaso. Anyone could say all of his Tehilos. Not one of us can say all of his Tehilos. So we're not in a position where we can add. Meaning that we're given a formula. The formula is good. Stick with the formula. Don't start ad libbing. Am Rabba Bar Bachana Am Rav Yochanan Am Asaper B'Shivchal Kadoshal Kadosh Baruch Hu Yosem Midai. Anyone who starts overpraising a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Nekam and Olam is going to be uprooted from the world, right? Which is counterintuitive, meaning one would think that what am I doing? I'm giving more and more praise to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So here, more is actually less. It's Nekam and Olam says the Gemara, you're going to be uprooted from the world, meaning we're just simply not in a position where we could really properly give proper praise to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So we operate with the formula that was given to us. Shenemar hayusupar lo ki adaber im amar ish ki yavala. Right? It's impossible, says the pasuk. There's a loose translation of the pasuk in Iyov. It's just simply impossible for us to give proper recognition and praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Darsh Rav Yehuda ish kfar gevurya v'amrila ish kfar gibur chayol may dechsiv lecha dumiyat tehila. Pasuk in Tehillim, which is basically lecha dumiyat tehila. So you know what's praise to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Silence. Silence is praise to you. So sama dekula mashtuka. So the anecdote, the perfect drug for everybody would be silence, meaning that too much praise is just simply no good. Okay, so silence would be good. So kiyasar of dimi amar amri b'marav and Eretz Yisrael. So they had the following expression: mila b'sela. If one word costs one sela, so mashtuka betrayin. So silence is going to it goes for double that much. The value of silence is twice as much as the value of saying words. Okay, good. Silence is golden. If I can may add a cliche, but okay, it's good not to try to overspeak and overdramatize.
Shimon HaPakuli is before or after Shmuel HaKatan, because the Gemara implies that the reason for we do Sadiqim after Poshim, the Poshim wasn't added until later on.
So the Gemara here, right, is the Gemara, right.
The Gemara actually goes through 19 brachas.
Right, the Gemara went through all 19 of the brachas, and so Shmuel HaKatan is before, or in other words, he's at the same general period as Rebbe Gamliel. In other words, he's at the end of Bayis Sheni, but your question is more specific. I don't know.
Because it doesn't explain why tzaddikim should follow.
Right. In other words, if we were explaining the original Shemoneh Esrei, so that whole section would have been left out. Yeah. Agreed. Okay. Kara Apel Yatsa. Okay, good. We're up to the next part of the Mishnah. Okay, so we just spent the first daf of our perek discussing the halacha l'mafrei. You cannot say it out of order. And now we're up to the next halacha of the Mishnah. So number one, you can't say the Megillah out of order. Number two of the Mishnah is kara pev. You read it by heart. So in other words, you know the Megillah by heart. So and you read it by heart. No good. So lo yatsa, you have to be reading it from a cloth. So kara pev lo yatsa minala namarava asya zechira zechira. So Rava says the halacha is predicated on Gzeir Shava. So Ksiv Hachavayamim Ma'ela Nizkarim V'Ksiv Hasam Ksov Zo Zikaron B'Sefer. So Malah Halam B'Sefer Afkam B'Sefer. Okay. So we know that the instructions are immediately after Mechamas Amalek, it says Ksov Zo Zikaron, and it says it B'Sefer. And by the way, the Gzeir Shava over here is also thematically connected. Meaning aside from the fact that the words are the same, it happens to be that that pasuk is in relationship to Amalek, and the Megillah obviously is also about Hashmaras Amalek, the destruction of Amalek. So, right, you don't always get it that clearly where the Gzeir Shava is not just word linked, but it's also thematically linked. Here it is. Okay. Anyway, Umi Mai Dahai Zechira Kriyahi Dilma Iyun Ba'alma. So the Gemara says, okay, but at the same time, Niz Karim means what? It means to remember. How do I know what it means to read? That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara says, Lo Sagadacha. No, it means to read. The Gemara says, we know it means to read. How do I know that? So he's like, I'll give you another example. Zachor, because we have a mitzvah to remember Amalek. Yachob Alev, Kishu Amar, Lo Tishkach, Hare Shichas Alev Amor. So when the Pasuk says Lo Tishkach, it means, good, don't forget it. Meaning that it already is talking about keep it in your memory. Ha Ma Ani Mekayim Zachor. So Zachor must be talking about some sort of active way of remembering. What's the active way of remembering? B'peh. Oh, you got to say it. Okay, so there's a mitzvah when we see the word zechor, it means that there has to be a there has to be an utterance. There has to be a spoken part to it as well, right? Just as another simple example, Zachor Yom Shabbos Lekasho Zachrei El Yayin, meaning that's a reference to Kiddush, meaning we have an obligation to sanctify Shabbos. So what does that mean when Shabbos comes in? So we should be meditating over the fact that Shabbos is holy? The answer, of course, is yes, but it also means that you have to articulate, you have to say, and that's Kiddush, obviously. So over here as well. So the word Zachor means that there has to be an articulation. And now it also says Basefer, meaning that goes back to the Pasuk in B'Shalach. So that means not only is there an articulation, but it's an articulation from a Sefer. Kar Targum Lo Yatza. We're back to the Mishnah. So we are now up to the third halach of the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says that if I read Targum Lo Yatza, so if you read some sort of translation of the Megillah, that's no good. So Hechidami Ilem and Deksiva Mikrav the Karilei Targum. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Let's spell this out. The Megillah, let's say, was written in Lashon HaKodesh, right? Which it is. And now I read a translation. Well, what am I doing if I'm reading a translation? It means that basically I'm not reading the words, but based on the words, here's what it means. So that's, you know what that's called? That's called Kara Alpeh. And the Gemara says, Hainu Alpeh, which the Mishnah already covered is no good. So then this would be redundant. So the Gemara says, L'tzricha d'ksiva targum v'karalei targum. So the Gemara says, yeah. So it must be the case over here is that it was written, and you're reading it from a Megillah that is written in another language. That's what the Mishnah means. Ava korno sol laaz v'laaz. So the Gemara says, now, the Mishnah, it becomes unbelievably confusing, because the Mishnah says you're not allowed to read it by heart. The Mishnah says that you're not allowed to read it targum, meaning if it's written in another language and you read it in that language, that's no good. And then the Mishnah says, aval korno sol laaz v'laaz. But if somebody's speaking another language and you read it to him in that language, so then that's okay. What? That's so confusing. Meaning the Mishnah just got done saying you can't read in another language, and then the Mishnah says, oh, you can read in another language. Okay, so what's going on? So v'hamar kar b'chol lashon lo yatza. So the Gemara asks exactly that question. So Rav Shmuel, damri tavaya balaz yavani. So Rav Shmuel give the following answer. They say we're talking about Greek. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Echidami. Was the Megillah written in Lashon HaKodesh and then you translate it to Greek? That's a Hainu Alpeh. So that's, and that means you're not reading it from a Sefer. It means basically, based on what I'm reading, here's what it's saying. But that's Kar Alpeh. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, well, no, it was in the Greek, it was written in the Greek language. Now, I'm sorry. The next point is going to be a separate point. So if it's written in Greek and I'm reading it in Greek to somebody who speaks that language, so then you're going to be Yotze. And then what the Mishnah is telling us, and then the previous point, is that if I'm reading it in another language in which you don't understand, well, that's not going to work. Okay. So right now, where we stand in the Gemara right now is that reading it in other languages would be acceptable, but you have to be reading it to somebody who understands that other language and written in that language. In other words, I have to be reading it off the cloth, off the paper, and I got to be reading it in the language that I'm reading it from. Meaning, if I'm translating, that's Kori Alpeh. Okay. V'amr of Ach, Amr of Elazim, Inayin, Shekar, Karash, Baruch, Liyakov, El. Now, we're going to go off on a really short tangent over here. Just simply the same Baal Memra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes Yaakov as Kel. Now, Kel is Shem Hashem. So it's a little, this is a little bit difficult to understand. It could be over here that El is to be understood in this context as somebody who's just simply strong, meaning a limb, meaning even though we use the word as Shem Hashem, it also means that he's Baal HaYicholos. He could do whatever he wants. He is omnipotent. So over here, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is describing Yaakov as El, in other words, it could just simply mean in terms of strength. Okay. Ashenemar Vayikra Lo El Elokei Yisrael. So Vayikra Lo, he called to him. That's a lot of pronouns. He, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, called Yaakov El. And who called him that? Elokei Yisrael, meaning Hashem. Okay. I know it's a difficult read of the pasuk, but that's the way Rav Acha Amar Rav Elazar is reading it. So Isakadatcha LeMizbeach Karei LeYaakov El. Maybe Yaakov is describing the Mizbeach. So Vayikra Lo Yaakov Mibayle. Yeah, but from a syntax standpoint, so the pasuk would have read Vayikra Lo Yaakov. So Ela Vayikra Lo Li Yaakov El Umikara El Elokei Yisrael. Okay, so it's the proper understanding of that pasuk is it's in Vayishlach. is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes Yaakov as El. Okay. And the point of which, I'm not sure. But anyway, let's go on. Meitzvei. Okay, that was a really short tangent. We're going back now to reading the Megillah in other languages. So Kari Giftis, Ivris, Ilmis, Midjus, Yavanis, Lo Yatsa. So if I read to, these are all different languages that I'm familiar with most, with only a fraction of them, right? Yavanis. Okay. Whatever. Different Middle Eastern languages. So the, so anyway, what comes out over here is that if I'm reading one language for another person, now I'm going to give away the answer. Who doesn't speak that language? Lo Yatsa, you haven't fulfilled your obligation. So the Gemara says, "Halo dami, halo laha, gift us a giftim, ivris leivris, ilmas leim, and yavanis levanis yatsa." So the Gemara says, "Okay, so move on to the next part of the Braisa. The next part of the Braisa teaches us that if I'm reading it now to an ivris, right? I'll just call him a Phoenician. Whatever, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter historically who it is. If I'm reading it to that nationality in their national tongue, in their language that they speak, yatsa, you have fulfilled your obligation." Okay, so effectively, again, what we just basically learned together in the Braisa is that if it's not Lashon HaKodesh, and I'm reading it in another language, so aside from the fact that I have to be reading it from a klaf that actually wrote it in that language, aside from that, I have to be reading it to someone who speaks that language. So if I'm speaking now, if I'm reading the Megillah, and let's say in Spanish to someone who does not speak Spanish, lo yatsa, you haven't fulfilled your obligation. That's effectively what the Braisa said. So the Gemara says, Yahachi Rav Shmuel, my mukme lalamasinsim, balaz yavanis. Look, my bechol laz. So the Gemara says, okay, so now, question. Rav and Shmuel, you're talking about Greek. There was no need for you to do that. Meaning, why specifically Greek? Meaning, at this point in time, now the halacha is very clear. If I'm reading in any other language other than Lashon HaKodesh, so now it depends. If I'm reading it to them in their in a language they understand, check. If I'm reading it to them in a language they don't understand, X. The Braisa said it, and we go back to the Mishnah. That's exactly what the Mishnah meant. And so Rav and Shmuel now talking about the Greek language, they're confusing us. So the Gemara says, okay. So Ella Masis and Gebraisa. Oh, okay, fine. So in other words, good. So as far as understanding the Mishnah is concerned, so just what we just learned together in the Braisa, plug that into the Mishnah, good. That part we got. Now, as far as Rav and Shmuel are concerned, so Vichy Idmar, the Rav and Shmuel, Ba'alma Idmar, Rav and Shmuel, we're making a totally separate point. And that is, Rav and Shmuel, Darmi Tavayo, Lazi, Yavana, Lechol, Kasher. Ah, so it's not totally separate, but it is a separate point. And that is, you know how Lashon HaKodesh works? It's a universal language, universal in the sense that not everyone speaks it. But if I hear the Megillah in the original Lashon HaKodesh, so even though I don't know what's happening, I don't understand it, you're Yotze. You get a check for the mitzvah. In a moment, the Gemara is going to ask the question, yeah, but you didn't understand it. Okay, the Gemara is going to ask that question. Now, what Rav and Shmuel are teaching us is the following, is that when it comes to other languages, so that's only going to work if they understand the other languages. However, Rav and Shmuel is saying that when it comes to Greek, Greek is the same as Hebrew. Just like Hebrew is universal, and anyone who hears it is going to get a check. So according to Rav and Shmuel, same thing can be said regarding Greek. Even if, as the expression goes, it's all Greek to me, so even if I don't understand it, you're going to be Yotze. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I didn't get that impression from the Braisa. The Braisa says that if I'm reading it in Greek, two Greeks, so then you're going to be Yotze, which sounds like Greek is not universal. So the Gemara says, Inu Damar Karash Bag. So the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. The Braisa is not going to be like Rav and Shmuel. But Rav and Shmuel do have a Tana, and that's the opinion of the Rashbag. And hopefully you'll remember, because we did this 10 days ago in the Daf. So did now we learned Rashbag Omer Sfarim Lohi Tishichtavu Ali Yavanis, according to Rashi Ben Gamliel. So Sfarim can be written in Greek, meaning he's of the position, the Gemara gave us the Drasha, that Greek can be used as a substitute for Lashon HaKodesh in terms of writing Sifrei Tanakh. Okay. So Velemer Halachik Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara says, okay. So now what Rav and Shmuel are telling us is that the Halach is like Rashi Ben Gamliel. So why not just say it? So the Gemara says, "Iam Ralach Karev Shem Gamliel Havamina Hani Milishar Sfarim Ava Megillah Dichsiv Ba Kich Savam Emalo Kamashmalan." So the Gemara over here has a Havamina, and look, it's true. Even if they would have said the Halach is like the Rashbag, so then I would have said, "Yeah, by other Sifrei Tanach you could write in Greek, but not the Megillah." And again, this is now the second time we had this Havamina. You know, the Megillah, it has to be at least as a Havamina, we're thinking that the Megillah has a higher criteria, has a higher requirement, and that it can only be written in Hebrew and not Greek, even according to the Rashbag. The Pasuk says, Kich Savam. You have to be reading the, you have to be writing the Megillah and reading the Megillah as is. So Kamash Malan, that's the Chiddush of Rav and Shmuel. That if I subscribe to Rav Shimon Gamliel and Greek can substitute for Hebrew, even for the Megillah, it would work. Okay. Here we go. Quick summary. That was a little bit confusing, but a very quick summary. So it comes out that Lashon HaKodesh now is a universal language in that anyone hears it, but Lashon HaKodesh are going to be Yotze, even if you don't understand. If you read the Megillah in another language to anybody, it works, but only if, one, you're reading it from that actual script. In other words, you can't be reading it from a different language and just summarizing it, because that's Kori Al Peh. So it has to be written in that language. And two, the listener, and presumably the reader as well, have to understand that language. Okay. Under those circumstances, you can read it. So now, in theory, so if, let's say, someone speaks English and you want to write the Megillah in English and read it in English, so in theory now, it sounds like you could be Yotze. Okay. It's not going to be recommended, as we'll see in just a moment, but that's what we're learning together. And then finally, the last point is that, according to Rav Shmuel, who subscribed to the Shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel, where Greek is equivalent to Hebrew, so according to them, anyone who hears the Megillah in Greek, even if you don't understand it, you're going to be Yotze as well. Okay. Halo Shishama Ashuris Yotze. Now, anyone who's not speaking Hebrew, but you hear it in Hebrew, so you're Yotze. V'halo Yadamai Ka'amrei. So the Gemara says, okay, but you're not understanding. Which, by the way, in other words, if somebody's coming to Shul and doesn't have a wonderful education, they're not going to understand the Megillah. So the Gemara says, how does that work? So the Gemara says, okay, but women in Ame Haaretz don't understand the Megillah. Okay, so back in the day, women did not get an education. So they go to Shul, they hear the Megillah, so they don't understand it, and yet they're going to be Yotze. So over here, it works as well. So So Matkev LaRavina. Yeah. So yeah, let's continue. Matkev LaRavina Atu Anan Achashteran and Bnei Aramachim Yadinan. So the Gemara says, okay, but I got news for you. There are phrases in the Megillah that nobody knows what they are. Right, Achasher sent messages, and he sent them on. So, right, Achashteranim b'nei Aramachim, some sort of courier. Now, it's a description of some sort of animal. Can anyone here in this room identify what the animal is? The answer is no. Nobody knows what it is. Okay, so now so that means to say, and the simple way to read the Gemara right now is that the Gemara is describing anyone and everyone, meaning nobody knows what that is. Okay, you read the Rabbi Nochanan over here, you get the impression that some people know what it is. Okay, it's fair to say right now, nobody knows what it is. So the Ela Mitzvah Kriya Persume Nisa, so Hachinami Mitzvah Kriya Persume Nisa. So the Gemara says, okay. So the reading of the Megillah, so I know this sounds funny, but the understanding of every word is not critical. The Gemara says it. So, and there are words in the Megillah that nobody knows what they are. It's fine. It's totally fine. Because what's the purpose of the reading of the Megillah? The purpose of the reading of the Megillah is Persume Nisa. Rashi writes over here, Afa Pishin Yod Masha Shomim, Sholim Sa Shomim Vaomrim, Mahia Kriyazu, Vechayanes Umodian Lehen. Because when you come to Shul and you hear the Megillah, and so now you don't understand what's going on, you're gonna turn to your neighbor, it's like, what is that? And so the answer is that, oh, so and you'll get informed and you'll get updated in terms of what's happening over there. So just simply by assembling and hearing the Megillah, so you'll be now part of Pirsume Nisa. And that would be sufficient. That'd be fine. Okay. Karasi Rugin Yatza. The Mishnah, we're up to the next halacha of the Mishnah. Okay, so this brings us all the way to the fifth point of the Mishnah, and that is Karasi Rugin. So if I read it in a manner of Sirugin, that would be fine. We're going to ask a simple question. What does that mean? Right. After we just learned that we don't know what all the words in the Megillah mean, so now we're going to also admit that we don't know what all the words in the Mishnah mean as well. So what does the word Sirugin mean? Kar Sirugin Yatsa. So lo yahavi yadin rabbanam mai Sirugin. Okay, so the rabbis, they were learning the Mishnah, this first Mishnah here in the second parak of Megillah, and they didn't know what the word Sirugin meant. So who are they going to turn to for some help? So none other than Amta Debe Rebbe, the maidservant of Rebbe. Now, she is brought up a number of times throughout Shas. We just saw a lot of her in Rosh Hashanah. Where in Rosh Hashanah, she was translating a lot of words. In fact, some of our Gemara over here is going to be basically a repeat of what we saw back in Rosh Hashanah. We saw her again. We will see her again in Ksuvos, where she's going to be instrumental in terms of playing a role in the death of Rebbe. Okay, I understand. I'm hearing what I'm saying right now. Wait till you see the Gemara over there. You'll understand better in terms of what we mean by that. But anyway, she's an important figure in the Gemara, and she's quite knowledgeable. She was Jewish. Right. I don't know. Impression. I don't know. How about this? I just simply don't know. But what she was extremely knowledgeable. And so what's happening over here is now a number of occasions, she's basically going to help out the Chachamim. And by the way, she also had a really sharp tongue. Okay. She wasn't gentle. Okay. That's fine. So lo havia the rabbi and my sirugin. So the rabbis didn't know what the word sirugin was. So Shamuel amta de bei Rabbi de ka'amra le rabban and have ayle paske paske le bei Rabbi ad masay tem nechnasim sirugin. And so what's happening now is that the bnei yeshiva, the students are coming into the base medrash, and they're not coming in all at one time. They're basically coming in drips. Okay, a pair coming in, another pair coming in, and it's intermittent. And she says to them, until what point in time are you going to come in intermittently? Okay, so now, based on her statement, now, oh, the light bulb went off in their heads. Oh, now we know what the Mishnah means. Oh, so what the Mishnah means is, if you read the Megillah with pauses, with delays. So, lo have you the Rabban Amai chalug lagos. Rabbis didn't know what that word meant. So, shamu lamta debe Rabbi, da amr leila hu garver, da have a kamivader parpechina, an masayat amifazer chalug logecha. So, she heard, the student heard her using the word in a sentence. And so the context helped them. He was spreading out some seeds onto the field. And she says, at what point in time are you going to be spreading out the seeds? Okay. So then he understood it was some sort of seed. Rashi describes it as a min yerek. Okay. Lo haviyad rabban amai salsala usirom memeka. Okay, pasuk in Mishle. And the rabbis didn't know what it meant. The word salsala. Sarom Mecca, they knew, right to be elevated. But Sal Salah, they didn't know. Shamu lamta de be Rabbi da hava amre la hu gavra da hava mahafich be mazi amre le admasa etam salsa bisa'arecha. So there was a boy in the yeshiva. He had long hair. And he was playing with his hair, twirling it in his finger. And he says, and she said to him, could you please stop? Like, in other words, up until what point in time are you going to do that? Right? Go get a haircut. So, fine. Anyway, but the word misalsal means to twirl around in it. And now, going back to the Pasuk in Mishle, salsalah is a description of what we should be doing in Torah, meaning that we should be basically twirling around in the Torah, meaning analyzing it, studying it, going over it again and again. Lo haviyad rabbanan, my hashlech al Hashem yahavech. Okay, Pasuk in Tehillim, and what we should do is we should cast on a Kadosh Baruch Hu our yahavech. It's a funny word. The Chachamim didn't know what it meant. Amar Rav Avabachana Zimnachana Havazina Bahadeh Hautaya. So over here, we're going to take a break from Amta Debe Rebbe, and now the information is going to be coming from a different source, notably an Arab. So Vikadarina Tuna, and I happened to be carrying this really big load. Va'amarli, and the Arab said to me, Shkol Yavech V'Shadia Gamlai. So take a load off and put it on my camel, and let me help you. Okay, it's good. Anyway, but. Aside from the fact that, you know, we got to see good manners here, but we also got to see what the word Yahavech meant. Yahavech meant your load. And that's Pshat in the Pasuk in Tehillim. Hashlech al Hashem, what should you throw on HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Yahavech, throw him your load. Meaning, you got troubles, you got sorrows, so tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Put it on him. Lo haviyad rabban amai v'tata seha v'metate hashmeid. Okay, forgiveness for my pronunciation. Anyway, Pasuk in Yeshayahu. So they didn't know what the word meant. So Shamul Amta de Bei Rabbi, we go back to Amta de Bei Rabbi to have a Amr lechaverta, Shkola Tate Vatate Besa. So she says, you know what? Take the broom, Rashi over here, Askoba, right? Take the broom and go sweep. Okay. So once again, context and the way she used it in a sentence that gave it away. All right. Good. So now we know Kara Se Rugin in the Mishnah. So it means that you read it, but you read it with pauses. So the Mishnah says, your Yotze. On that, the Gemara says, let's learn a little bit more about this point. Tana Rabbanan Karas Zerugin Yatza. So here the Gemara quotes a Braisa that if I read it with intermittent pauses, your Yotze, as we are now on the top of the Amud Beis, Seirusin lo yatsa. Now, Seirusin is the same thing that we learned in the Mishnah. It's out of order. If you read the Mishnah out of order, sorry, not the Mishnah. If you read the Megillah out of order, so then you're not going to be Yotze. Presumably, Seirusin and Lamafreya are one in the same. Rabbi Mona, Amram Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, Afbe Seirugan, Aim Shakadeh Ligmoros Kula, Chozel Arosh. Now, the Gemara quotes B'Shem Rabbi Mona, who says that B'Shem Rabbi Yehuda, that if even if you read it with intermittent pauses, which according to the Tanakhama, you're Yotze, but Rabbi Mona says, but if those pauses are significant, enough where Kedei Ligmor is Kula, the amount of time where it takes to read the whole Megillah, we'll clarify that point in just a moment. So then, Chozel LaRosh, you have to go back. So Am Rav Yosef Halacha, Rabbi Mona, Shamar Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Yosef says, that's the Halacha. Am Le'abala, Rav Yosef, Kedei Ligmor is Kula, Mehecha Dekai, Le'Seifa, Odil Mamresh Le'Seifa. Now, the shear of Kedei Ligmor is Kula, meaning that pause, how big a pause are we talking about? From where you currently are till the end? Or in other words, or from the beginning to the end. So I'm alone. Mireisha Le'Seifa. He says, no, of course, it's from the beginning to end. Meaning what we're talking about is a interval of time that has to be a standard interval of time. Because the Imkin Asata Dvarach L'Shiurim. Because if it's from where you are to the end, well, that's not a standard interval of time. So when we're saying that the pause is significant, it means from the time that it takes for it to read from the beginning to the end. Now, I say it's a standard unit of time. Of course, it's not a standard unit of time. In other words, some people read the Megillah really fast. Some people read the Megillah really slow. So it's not a standard unit of time. But at least in theory, it's a standard number of words. So, okay, so I understand. Maybe over here the Gemara is talking about the average. Okay, whatever. But it could be standardized. As opposed to from wherever you are currently, that's obviously not standard. Okay, so according to Ramona, if the pause is long enough where it takes the amount of time to read from beginning to end, so that is now too much, and then you're going to have to go back in Chozel LaRosh. And now, seemingly, what we have in the Braisa that we learned on the top of the Amud, it's a machlokas, meaning according to the Tanakhama, it's not going to, you could still just pick it up where you left off, and according to Rabbi Mona, you have to go back to the beginning. If the pause was enough, Kedei Ligmor, and Rav Yosef says the halacha is like Rabbi Mona. So, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Yirna Bar Abba, Amar Rav Halacha K'Rabbi Mona, Shmuel Amar Ein Halacha K'Rabbi Mona. So here now, Amachlokus amongst the Amarayim, whether or not we follow like Rabbi Mona or not. In this version we just learned, so Shmuel says the Halacha is not like Rabbi Mona. Okay, all this gets a little bit confusing. Just remember, according to Rabbi Mona, he's the Machmir. He's the one who says that if the pause is long enough, you have to be Chozel LaRosh. So now we have it that Shmuel says, Ein Halacha K'Rabbi Mona. Besura Masna Hachi Bepumbadisa Masna Hachi. In Pumbadisa, they had a different version, notably, Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Rav Halachik Rab Mona, Ushmal Amar Ein Halachik Rab Mona. Okay, so they flipped around the Shitas, where right now Rav is the one who says that the Halacha is not like Rabbi Mona. Rabbi Ein Halachik Rab Mona. Rabbi Masne Ipcha. And Rabbi flips it around. Rav Amar Ein Halachik Rab Mona, Shmal Amar Halachik Rabbi Mona. Okay, so various versions of where Rav and Shmuel stand on this Machlokas Tanaim. I'm Rav Yosef Nakot de Rabbi Bibi Adecha. So Rav Yosef says Rabbi Bibi's right. Rabbi Bibi is the one that says that the halacha is not like Rabbi Mona, and Shmuel says the halacha is like Rabbi Mona. How do I know that Rabbi Bibi's version of all the versions are correct? Because then it would make Shmuel consistent. Consistent with what? His position elsewhere. Nakot de Rabbi Bibi Adecha de Shmuel hu dechaish lechida. Because Shmuel is concerned about the minority position. How do I know that did not? Shemar Yavam Shekida Sheachiv Vezachosam Mishem Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beser Amru Omrim Lo Hamtena Shiasa Achicha Gadol Maisa. So a halacha in Yavamos. Now I'm going to say this way too quickly. If you're not holding in Yavamos, so I'm sorry, I'm going to pass you by, and I don't mean to. Just in other words, it's a tangential point that Shmuel follows a das yachid. That's the whole point the Gemara wants to make over here. But basically, what happens is that the husband died. And now there are surviving brothers, not just one, but multiple brothers. And now there is a requirement on the oldest brother to do the mitzvah of Yibum. But presumably there's also a zika on a younger brother, even though only one of them is going to be doing the mitzvah. And what happens is that the younger brother, it was Mekadish, after the death of the brother, he was Mekadish, the sister of the Yavama. And under those circumstances now, what that is it could be that he's now being Mikarish, a sister of his Zika, what's called the Achoz Zikukaso. Again, I'm not going to go through all this right now in terms of details. What I'm saying is all correct. It's just, I'm not giving sufficient explanation. Anyway, is that okay? The answer is no. However, Rav Yehuda ben Becerra says, here's what you're going to do. Wait. Because what your older brother is going to do now is he's going to either do Yibam or he's going to do Chalitza. Either way now, it's going to break the Zika. And now, this woman to you is perfectly mutter. Okay, that's what you'll do. And Amr Shmuel, halacha Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, and Shmuel says, the halacha is in fact like Rav Yehuda ben Becerra. Meaning, so you see, even though Rav Yehuda ben Becerra is a das yachid, Shmuel says we're going to be choshish for that position. I myself am a little bit, not confused, but in other words, does that mean that Shmuel throughout all of Shas is always choshish for a shitas yachid? Meaning, I know we have one example over here in Yevamos. And the Gemara says, okay, so it must be over here as well. Even though this is a totally different halacha, this is by Megillah, and that's by Yibum. And it could very well be that they're just simply two different issues. And the Gemara is assuming right now, well, if he's choshesh for Shitas Yachid over there, well, he's going to be choshesh for Shitas Yachid over here. And does that mean that's always going to be the case? Okay, I'm not sure, but that's what it sounds like from the Gemara saying. Anyway, what comes out over here is as follows. We just concluded that section of the Gemara, and that means to say that if the pause that you made while reading the Megillah is significant meaning the amount of time that it takes to read from the beginning to the end, so it's a machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rebbe Mona. Tanakhama says you don't have to go back. Rebbe Mona says that you do have to go back. And then a machlokus amongst the Amoraim with numerous versions of what each position is, but a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel, whether or not we need to be concerned with the Shita of Rebbe Mona or we don't. The Gemara seems to be landing on the spot where Rav says we don't have to worry about the Shita of Rav Mona, and Shmuel says that we do have to worry about the Shita of Rav Mona. And then Tosus, you can see the top Tosus over here for further discussion of where we land in terms of the halacha. Tana Rabbanan. Let's do a little bit more for this morning. Hishmi ba sofer osios apsukim v'karim akorei kemeturgaman hametargim yatsa. So let's say the Megillah is missing some letters, missing some psukim. Okay, one could have easily thought, okay, that doesn't work. The Brisa tells us, nah, it works. Those psukim you're going to be saying, because you got to say the whole Megillah, and you're going to be saying them by heart, the Brisa says that's fine. Now, what just happened? Meaning, we started the whole perek by saying that you can't read it by heart. Okay, so here's now what we're doing, and we're modifying. And now what we're saying is, as long as the majority of the Megillah is on klaf, and you whatever's missing, you supplement by saying it by heart, so that works. So, meisve hayubas yos metushtashos, oh, mikuraos, so let's say some of the letters start rubbing out. As long as you can make the basic border of the letter, so then you're yotzei. So lokasha abakula hamemiksasa. So the Gemara says, okay, but the difference between them is whether or not we're talking about the entire Megillah, we're talking about just sections of the Megillah. If the entire Megillah, so you got to have letters on the entire Megillah. And if they start wearing down, but as long as you can still basically make out the general shape of the letter, that would be fine. When the Brisa says you could be missing, yeah, you could be missing some of the letters or some of the psukim. Tana Rabbanan Hishmit ba kori pasuk echad lo yamar ekras kula ve'achar kach ekra oso pasuk. Let's say the ba kori forgot the first pasuk, he just skipped it. He moved on to the second pasuk. So don't say I'll just go back at the end and I'll read the first pasuk. So ela kori mi oso pasuk ve'elach. In other words, wherever pasuk you skipped, you got to pick it up from that pasuk. Again, the idea is that you have to read the Megillah sequentially. Mm-hmm. So let's say you got to shul halfway through the Megillah. So lo yomer ekra chatzia imetzibar v'achar kach ekra chatzia el kare osa mitchila v'ad sofa. So don't say, look, I'll hear the second half and I'll make up the first half afterwards. It doesn't work. Again, the Megillah has to be read in order. A point we already established, but okay. One more section. Misnam neim yatsa. Now, if you are somewhere between consciousness and unconsciousness, so you are yotzei, misnam nem yatsa. So hechidami misnam nem. So the Gemara says, can you give me a description of what that is? So Baruch Hashem, we hear this Gemara numerous times throughout Shas. So hopefully it'll seep through. So Am Rav Ashi nim velo nim tir velo tir dekar leva ani leva lo yada laduri svara v'chi mitgur le mitka. So he is awake, but not awake. He's asleep, but not asleep. Okay, in other words, what the Gemara is trying to do is describe somebody who is, you know, he's dozing off, but, you know, he's somewhere between consciousness and subconscious. You can't ask him questions that would provide svara, because right now he's not clear in his thinking. However, However, v'chimitker ulamitker. Mitker. But if you ask him to repeat something, so he'll be able to repeat something. Okay, good. An attempt to describe it. Okay, we're going to pause over here. Hayakosva dorsha umagiel. We're going to, we'll pick it up tomorrow in terms of reading it reading while writing. Okay, that we'll pick it up tomorrow.
He's talking about the reader, not
the listener. I assume it means it's both on the reader and the writer. Okay, quick review of today's daf. Number one, Shmoneh Esrei has to be done b'seder, and in order. And the Gemara today, starting on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, going well into Yud Ches Amud Aleph, goes through the seder of Shmoneh Esrei, giving us not a full, but some of the explanations in terms of why Anshe Knesset Gedola gave the Shmoneh Esrei in the sequence that it did. Okay, next, we Korei Al Peh Lo Yatzi. You cannot read the Megillah Baal Peh. You have to be reading it from a klaf. In what language? A major discussion on Yud Ches Amud Aleph, in that if you're reading it in Hebrew, in other words, you obviously have to read it in the language that it's written. If you're reading it in Hebrew, i.e. the Megillah is written in Hebrew, so that's universal, that works for everybody, for those who understand and those who do not understand. The Gemara wonders, how does that work? The Gemara basically says, because it's still going to be a function of Pursuma Nisa, even if you don't understand. However, if you're reading it in another language, it will work, but only if, A, it's written in that language, and B, the person you're reading it to understands that language. If you read the Megillah Seirugin, so you are not Yotze. The Chachamim didn't know what that word meant in the Mishnah. So Amta Debei Rebbe taught him what it meant. Good. And she taught a couple of other words as well. And that got us to the top of the Amud Beis. What does the word Seirugin mean? It means that you make intermittent pauses while reading the Megillah. What we learned also on the Amud Beis is Machlokas Tanayim. If I make significant pauses while reading the Megillah, so the Tanakhama says you're good, you don't have to go back. And the Reb Mona says you do have to go back. And a major debate amongst the Amoraim, which position we follow. It sounds like from the Gemara's conclusion that we do follow, in fact, the Tanakhama. You do not have to go back. Again, the Gemara wavers on that very point. Shmuel's choshesh for Shitas Yachid, fine. If, let's say, your Megillah is missing some letters, some words, as long as it represents the minority of the Megillah, you are going to be Yotze, the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah. Obviously, you have to read the entire Megillah, so whatever's not there, you're going to supplement with what you know by heart. And then lastly, we went over the halach of the Mishnah, where if you're not sleeping, but you're like kind of in and out, so that's okay. In other words, obviously it's not preferred, but you're Yotze with the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah.